Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, folks, thank you very much. So our special council meeting this evening, is there any declarations of interest?
Just a highlight of members of member of NOGA.
That's fine. All right, nothing else. It is a pleasure to welcome Alison Allen, who's the chief executive of NOGA, and Councillor Matt Garrett, who's the president, who are here to present all the good and positive things about NOGA and what they do here locally within local government. And I'm going to hand over to Alison, or is it Matt first? I think it's Alison.
Chair, our president, Matt Garrett, will take the floor first, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thanks very much, Chair. And you make me sound very grand when you announce me as president, but I'm indeed a councillor like everyone else in the room. So I suppose, first of all, thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to come and speak to you this evening in what Terry has described as the best council right across the north. So for now, Terry, I will agree with you on that. But look, thanks very much for inviting me here tonight. And it is very important to highlight the importance of your regional local government association, which is NOGA. Unfortunately, I can't be with you, but anybody that's in the meeting and anybody that knows me knows that I'm always there and I'm always available and quite open to any councillor at any time coming and having a conversation about NOGA, what we do, and how we can help. As local councillors, you will all know that yous are the most accessible and visible of all of our elected representatives. You're the people who are out there in your community. You're the leaders. You live in the villages, in the towns, in the streets, and you represent local communities, and you give them a voice in the council chamber whenever you step into it. As the regional body for local government here in NOGA, we want to add value to those local voices. We want to amplify the needs of your constituents and concerns at all levels. And to do that, we rely on having strong representation from every council area right across the north. And by participating in NOGA, you can give your council a voice on the matters that do affect its sustainability and its performance. And you can maximise the opportunities and create a thriving and prosperous district that has equality for all and opportunities for everyone. For my part, I've been part of the NOGA office for our team now for 5 years, and I've been able to see firsthand how working across all of the parties contributes to the sustainability of the sector. I mean, we represent local government on council finance, the levelling up, which is the most recent and the Shared Prosperity funds that we're all dealing with at the minute. Providing training for all of the councillors to be the best advocates for all of their communities. And today, for instance, I seen a timetable of training that was being made available to all councillors through NOGA. We help to develop campaigns to highlight the good work the councillors are doing, and I've seen it firsthand, that good work that is being done. So all of this is being delivered by NOGA for the benefit of the councils and for the benefit of the local communities that you represent. And to bring you through that in more detail, Alison is here, the Chief Executive, and she will take you through that. And, of course, any questions afterwards, we're happy to answer. So I'll hand over to Alison at this point.
Thank you, Councillor Garrett, and thank you very much, Chair, for the invitation. I'm delighted to be down. This is a lovely chamber, I have to say. I've been down here a couple of times. To those I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, I'm Alison Allen. But there are some familiar faces in the room and online. I'm conscious, obviously, there are quite a few new councillors, and I look forward to working with you in the coming months and years in this mandate. I think being a fairly new chief executive since February 22, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of councillors from all of our 11 councils and talk to officers and chief executives. And whilst it's clear there's consensus on the priority issues, it's also important to acknowledge that there are particular needs for individual areas as well. And this is particularly important for your area. Obviously, it's a voice for rural and border needs. But most importantly, in the context of developing the relationship with NILGA, the opportunity and the role that you play as regional leaders, given your place in this region. So very quickly, can we go to the next slide, Sarah? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm in control, it was saying. There we go. Perfect. Thank you. So this summary chart just gives you a quick overview of the key areas of business that NILGA focuses on, and we think it's a useful image just to kind of really bring everything that we do together. And I'll talk a little bit more in detail about them, but as you can see, our president has already referred to elected member development. We are your regional employers representative on workforce matters at national level. We speak up for you and promote what you do and what your staff does. We represent your interests, both regionally, nationally and internationally, in key policy areas. We will work with you to develop consensus and positions on key policy pieces so that we are influencing decision makers, both again at a regional and national and international level. And we are working with you politically, but also with your officer team and thinking about the challenges and opportunities that future will bring for the sector. So with your indulgence, I will talk a little bit more in detail about the things that we've done with Nuri Mornin Down, but more importantly, what the future holds. Oh, one too quick. There we go. There, let's go. So first of all, on workforce, as I mentioned, NILGA represents you at national employer level. That is a political position. It was led by Councillor Alderman Audrey Wales in the last mandate and is now taken by Councillor Christopher Jackson from Derry City and Strabane. And that position sits at national level and is involved in negotiations of your staff pay and terms and conditions matters. So I think one of the key things coming out of the industrial action last year is making sure that Northern Ireland councils have a strong voice, which is independent and has strength in its own right and isn't consumed, I suppose, or overridden by the positions of English and Welsh councils just because of their numbers. I'm very pleased to say that, you know, our position is very strongly articulated politically in terms of the values and the value that we place on the workforce in Northern Ireland, and I think the experience of last year means that we know how important the workforce is and how important that partnership with ISM is for them and for us as a council. Also, during recent industrial action, we were able to coordinate with the 11 councils, and your own head of HR, Katrina, very much participated in that, and that was around trying to share information across councils. So we provided coordinating voice as well on matters of workforce and HR. In relation to elected member development, this council participates very proactively in our learning and development programmes. In the last mandate, well over 50% of your councillors participated in a range of programmes, both accredited and non-accredited, and were very successful in undertaking that. And that can involve our planning programme, our leadership development programme, mental health and wellbeing, climate resilience. The list is endless in terms of the learning and development opportunities. And we're very keen to ensure that we work with you and your democratic services teams to understand what your priorities may be for learning and development coming into the new mandate. In relation to the charter, which is the, basically the kite mark for elected member development, I'm very pleased to say this council participates very strongly in relation to charter development, and that just shows that it's not just support you're getting at regional level, but you're also getting a lot of support at a local level in relation to your learning and development. I think I just got kicked out, so people have lost the visual there. I'm just conscious they will want to see me. So excuse me. So on policy issues, many of these things will be familiar to you. Obviously on planning, we have been lobbying very strongly with officer teams in relation to the local development plan and the bureaucracy that you all have experienced in taking that process through, in terms of streamlining and alignment to that. Most recently, Nilga gave evidence on your behalf, supported by elected members and Solus, to the Public Accounts Committee on the Northern Ireland Audit Office report into planning in Northern Ireland, and put to bed one of the key questions that was raised by MLAs, which was conflicts of interest by councillors in the planning process. So our representation put that query to bed, and it was dealt with once and for all, and hopefully should not raise its head again. In relation to development, obviously the role of InvestNI in relation to how it supports councils and the clarifications of roles, and I know there has been some tension in that relationship very recently. We gave evidence to the InvestNI review. Again, it was politically led evidence, and they were very, very impressed with the input of councils on economic development, not just locally, but also the regional vision in relation to economic development. And we're very keen to ensure that in the transformation of InvestNI has the input from you as recognised place-based leaders in these matters. So in relation to climate action, you'll be aware the councils obviously are very proactive in relation to this area, not just in the context of the adaptation of your own facilities and the priorities around bringing those into the 21st century from a climate perspective, but also the opportunity of working with your businesses and your communities and how they all deal with this particular issue. So councils have a very strong role, and we always ensure that councils are recognised in that particular position. But from a Climate Act perspective, we are keen to ensure that is not burdensome, and we're working very proactively with the departments on the public body reporting requirements associated with the Climate Act, and your own director, Andrew, has been very proactive in advising us on that. Thank you very much, Marie. Hopefully she's getting me back online there. The Code of Conduct, which is, I know, something that you all feel very strongly about. So Nilga obviously works with the National Association of Councillors in relation to the Code of Conduct, and we are very clear on the issues that you have, not just in terms of the timescales associated with managing complaints, the lack of clarity and the need for a review after 8 years to bring that code up to scratch, given your experience as councillors. But in the interim, we're very pleased to say that we were able to secure participation from NIPSA to do a survey, which I hope you all had the opportunity to participate in last year, on how the current code was working for you and opportunities to improve clarity and feedback. So we know that's a priority for you going forward. In relation to representation, this is a key area for us, obviously, in making sure that your needs as councils are met, not just locally, but nationally and internationally as well. And evidence has been given on by Nilga on your behalf, with support from Solus colleagues, on the financial issues arising out of COVID. And as a result of that, well over £100 million was secured to support councils during one of the most difficult times financially. We were lobbying very strongly the DLUHC Minister in relation to levelling up, and unfortunately we were less successful on those outcomes. This particular lobbying was very focused on the lack of democratic oversight in a Northern Ireland context, so there was no political input at a regional level and no political input at a local level, which really left us in a very different position to the experience in England, Scotland and Wales, which we felt was unacceptable. And I know that all of your parties feel the same at a regional level on that matter as well, so there's real cohesion politically in Northern Ireland on this. In relation to cost of living, we worked with your officers and political parties across the board and developed a position piece on practical suggestions that could be brought to bear to assist individuals and families in managing the cost of living crisis. And we were very pleased to see that the department implemented a number of those recommendations despite the current budgetary restrictions. So the relationships with DFC, are they very much turned to councils to provide them with advice and guidance, because you know your areas best. again, to assist and take some of the burden off you, NILGA has provided the sectoral input into the COVID inquiry, and we have provided witness statements and given evidence on Module 1, and the Module 2C witness statement has been submitted as well, and we are expecting a request to give evidence. And that means that individual councils did not have to make submissions under the Rule 9 request for the inquiry, which I have to say it has been very burdensome for all organisations, so we're hoping that that will have eased things for you. And partnership panel, which I know you were very ably represented on with former councillor Robert Burgess, and you'll know from that engagement that the minister just before Stormont went into suspension agreed that the conversation of the transfer of regeneration powers could be reopened again, and officials are working on that in the background to bring forward some potential position options for you to have a good political discussion about, because it's important not just to lift something off the shelf that may have been fit for purpose in 2015, but to bring all of your experience of place shaping powers as you have them now and your local visions into what may come for the future. So we're proactively working on that for you. In relation to communication, obviously part of our job is to promote what you do, and again very keen to ensure that the role, not just political role, but of council officers is promoted. And your council was very proactive in relation to the council's Make It Happen campaign, which NILGA delivered on your behalf during the COVID pandemic. That was reinforcing the importance of frontline services, and a number of council staff from across all 11 councils were promoted in that, and it was really important to remind people that council staff were still delivering during that very difficult period and were very out delivering key services. We also followed that up just in advance of the last elections with a campaign to promote the role of being a councillor, and how important that was in the context of being able to support your community and the value of the role and the opportunities that the role brought. And we also had the opportunity to promote equality and diversity as part of that campaign. You'll probably be aware of our work in dealing promoting the issue of abuse and harassment of councillors, and we have run a number of campaigns on that, and we have secured quite a lot of media coverage on the unacceptability of abuse and harassment. And just about 10 days ago, had a joint discussion with the Association of Irish Local Government on this issue, and a joint statement was issued in both NILGA and AILG's name on this. And again, there was follow-up media attention on this. And we coordinate the Local Government Employee of the Year campaign, and it's great to see a number of entries from this council, and we'll be running that again in 2024, and I'm sure there'll be a number of really high quality entrants coming in. So finally then, just on to the opportunities for the future, and I am sure you've had the opportunity to look at our draft corporate plan. We are aware that the balancing act that you're currently dealing with in relation to pressures at the moment is very difficult. Obviously, there are a number of external forces, some of which you have some control over, some of which you have absolutely no control over. But we're determined to make sure that we are able to deal with those challenges together as a sector. And some of them are listed there on the spreadsheet. I'm not going to, or on the slide, I'll not go into them in great detail. But more importantly, our four things going forward are to ensure that councils are empowered and resourced, both with the tools to be able to do your job effectively, including outstanding legislation, but also the sustainable financial position. We want empowered and confident councillors who feel that they have all of the information and the tools and knowledge to be able to exert the scrutiny and challenge role that you're all here to do in the context of your roles. And we want to ensure that communities feel properly supported, and that's very much about our job and supporting you. So you deliver the important frontline services, but NILGA wants to ensure that we are supporting you in doing that, and obviously assisting with the community planning review and making sure that it really starts to realise its full potential, which I think, if we're honest, it probably hasn't yet. It needs to come to a state of maturity, which our Scottish colleagues say really only came after about 10 years for them. So we're hoping that will make some more progress. And more importantly, I think as I've gone around councils, the key message that I get is the more balanced central and local relationships that are needed. So councillors and councils don't feel that they are in a position of strength or respect. They don't feel that the mandate is respected or the services or the position of councils is respected by those in central government. And it's important that that relationship is balanced. And we are looking to some examples from other areas. Most recently, the Verity House Agreement, which has been signed in Scotland between the Scottish Government and the Convention of Scottish Local Authorities, which really details not just the ways that people will work together, but the values and behaviours are acceptable in that relationship as well. So we'll be bringing that forward to you for your views in the coming months ahead. So thank you very much, Chair. I'm very happy to take questions. I'm hoping there will be some challenging questions in there too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Alison. Thank you very much, Matt. I suppose just from my own perspective, as someone that attended and got my certification in the NILGA leadership program, I know Fiona was very passionate about it, and we were during the pandemic phase, and then we got to celebrate post the pandemic. So certainly, it's a program. Now the journey up to Antrim may have been a challenge sometimes, but it's certainly a program that I thoroughly enjoyed and certainly took a lot of skill and knowledge away from. And I suppose another relevant piece of training that NILGA certainly are leading on, you're talking about empowerment and empowering councillors to do a good job. We had our audit committee just last week, and obviously there is the audit committee training for all councillors next Friday. I feel like I'm doing PR for NILGA here. But next Friday, 12:30 to 2:00. And you don't need to sit on the audit committee. You know, it certainly will give skills for you to scrutinise in other committees and across the whole council. And I would encourage particularly our audit committee members, but any councillors within the chamber and online tonight to make sure to attend and avail of the further training that's going to come from NILGA. So I see Councillor Hanlon.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, it's just to thank Alison for the presentation this evening on behalf of our grouping, and to welcome Matt and Yuri Morning Down. I suppose you stole my thunder there, Councillor Sharvin. I was going to come in with the same comment around the training that we both got with NILGA during the pandemic for the leadership certification, and just to say that the training that they do provide is second to none. And to encourage any councillors, if they see anything coming up that is relevant to them, to definitely partake in it, because I find it really worthwhile, and it did put me out of my comfort zone to a certain degree, but in a good way. So thank you.
Okay, thanks. Just one question that came into my head there, Alison, my Councillor Hans, be. Obviously, we're probably not the first council that you've presented to. And I'm sure they're expressing the same challenges that we probably could express, but from your own experience of other councils, what is the biggest thing that you see NILGA can have an impact on supporting councils in driving, one, their vision, but also their agenda forward as well?
Thank you, Chair. So it will come as no surprise that finance is the top issue that comes up when I speak to councils. And one of the first conversations I had, I think in my first couple of weeks in the job, was to talk to my counterparts in the rest of the UK and Ireland. And the consistent message that I received was that if a local government association only does one thing, it should be to ensure the sustainability financially of their member councils, and that I should prioritise that above everything else, because that's everything flows from that. I think we're in a very difficult position though, and I think coming into NILGA at that particular time, the conversation was around the sustainability of our government grants, long-term planning, can we get three-year offers, all of those things. But there are obviously difficult external circumstances now that are flowing from that, and most importantly the weight support grant, which I know this council would rely on as well. And I think the sector will want to have a conversation about this, because our colleagues in Scotland, England and Wales look very jealously at the fact that we can raise so much revenue ourselves locally. And I would have hated for us to be in a position where we were reliant 80% on central government grants, which is the case for local government and the rest of the UK. They are the complete flip of our financial model, given where we are with public finances generally, and that could have been crippling. So I think what we can bring to that is conversations about innovation and transformation, creating more streamlined services that meet the needs of your residents, creating the opportunities for efficiency that you can reinvest in services and help other services priority areas go, or indeed deal with potential funding gaps, and look at opportunities to bring in investment to the sector. So I'm very pleased to announce, and Councillor Garrett will be aware of this, that already this year, this financial year, we have already brought in financial investment to the sector for the benefit of all 11 councils, equal to the value of your contribution in supporting NILGA. That has come in the form of two innovation type projects. So £300,000 for councils on a small business research initiative, which is a partnership between the public sector and SMEs. So it's basically bringing SME knowledge and expertise to solve long-standing public sector challenges. The two areas that have been identified by your officer groups are around waste and the use of assets, and that knowledge will be shared across all 11 councils, and that's a developing piece. The second item is around procurement, and that is a partnership that we have developed with PricewaterhouseCoopers, bringing a lot of investment into the sector on how we can be more streamlined and efficient with our procurement. And the product that we will provide to you at the end of that will be, first of all, a procurement analysis for your council to allow you to have discussions on what things you may want to change to streamline your procurement options, but more importantly, what opportunities there are at a regional level to collaborate. And I use some very basic examples that there are obviously very local needs on particular types of procurement. Every part of Northern Ireland is different. Every council is different. But we're all buying the same supplies and services. We're all buying the same cleaning equipment. We're all buying the same sorts of things. So there's no doubt there is opportunity in procurement in the first instance. So we're looking forward to bringing more of that to you. We're very focused on bringing money into the sector. If we can't bring cash into the sector, we want to bring expertise and knowledge to help you. Because what we don't want is that transformation or indeed efficiency is forced on you by external circumstances. We want you to have the opportunity to lead that yourselves and to be in control of the timeline around that.
Okay, perfect. It felt like I set the tee up and you hit the golf ball there, because last week we were talking about procurement, and good to hear about the analysis and how we could streamline that. And I think certainly from our own council perspective, we could benefit from that. But no, thank you. Is there any other questions, comments? People have. I thought that when I turned the camera on, Councillor Byrne. Pull your mic down.
Yes. Alison, you touched on an agreement that was developed between the Scottish Government and their member councils, and obviously it's something that we'd be keen to see here in the future. Because when you're talking about, and especially in times of difficulty financially, we see costs being pushed from government departments onto local government as if they can just absorb them. It's nearly get it off their desk, whether it's the rate support grant or the animal cruelty costs that have been pushed off. You're looking at departments probably rightly looking at their own budgets and seeing this is something that has been delivered by local council, we push it off for them, but there isn't the money there to do that, you know, especially in the rate support grant cuts. And that's where you would get a lot of benefit out of some mutual agreement between government and local governments. Given that the executive is down, is there any way, obviously you've touched on that bit of work in Scotland, is something that you're looking at, is there any way to advance that now, or is that something where you've got to have an executive in place in order to push that wee piece of work to try and get some framework or agreement signed between the two? Just a wee bit more detail around that. I know things like this, you know, are impossible because we don't have an executive, but is there any work ongoing with permanent secretaries around that?
So it's very timely, actually, because next Wednesday, the 3rd of October, I'm actually meeting with the PermSec of DSC with the chair of SOLAS to discuss some of these matters directly, particularly the way of operation, the partnership panel and views for improvements around that. The Verity House Agreement has literally just been signed. And I think what is unique about that is, whilst the partnership panel is obviously specified in legislation, the Verity House Agreement really does nail down the values and behaviours and the way people will interact with each other in a way that allows people to be held to account. And it has obviously high level political backing. I think the key thing, and I suppose this is one of the unique things that I didn't fully understand about NILGA before I became involved about it, that sign off by a minister or indeed the wider assembly, it's just the end stage. So it's not, it's about obviously working with officials, which we've already started on. But more importantly, we will liaise regularly directly with political parties to build lobbies and consensus around these issues. So it's a great position to be in as your representative organisation. It's a freedom that we didn't have. Obviously, I was a council officer before. So in some ways, it's really great that we can reach out through you, talk to the leadership of your parties about what do they think on these issues, so we can build political consensus away in the background. What will be challenging again, and you'll remember this from the last time Stormont moved from a suspension into that very tight window, was there's always a backlog of legislation, and sometimes the timeline is very, very tight. So it's up to us to lobby really strongly to ensure that some of this legislation is put through. I don't think that legislation is the answer to everything. If you can get people bought in to the way things are delivered and the respectful relationship, then to me that's as good, you know, because it means that people actually truly believe in it as opposed to being held to account by legislation. The other piece we're looking at, which may be of interest to you, Councillor, is the New Burdens Doctrine, which is a piece of legislation that's in place in England, and it's an agreement through through legislation that the English government have that they will not transfer any power, either directly or indirectly, which I know happens to councils, things are done by stealth, without the appropriate financial model to support that. So we don't have those kind of things, so those are all of the things that we have in our corporate plan and our business plan, and hopefully you will see progress in that over the next 4 years.
God, if we had had that, it would resolve a lot of our problems, Mary, huh? All right. Any other questions, comments, councillors? No? Okay. Oh, yes. Thanks, Sir Andrew.
So is it just more or less, I'd just like to thank Alison tonight and Matt and all the officers and the members of NILGA. I know tonight was this brief snapshot of what NILGA does, but I think, you know, it's a great organisation, and it's important that that vehicle is there, you know what I mean, to deliver its whatever potentials that local government can achieve. So again, I found it very enjoyable, very interesting, and as I say, just thought I would say thanks. You know, I really enjoyed it, very educational.
Here, maybe if I could just conclude by saying thank you very much for the remarks, Councillor Andrews. As I've gone round, you're right, I'm kind of about halfway around my regional tour. I'm very keen to emphasise the message that NILGA is not a separate organisation. NILGA is owned by you, the 11 councils. You are, in effect, the shareholders of us, represented by your political appointments to the organisation. So everything we do will be led by you as members. We're not top-down, we're a bottom-up organisation. So we put a lot of effort in, both politically and with your officer teams, to make sure that we build positions and build understanding in a way that properly reflects what you need. And I think if I was keen to take any message away from this evening, that we are not separate. We are owned by you, we're part, and you own us. And if there are any changes or anything that you have issues with, please just do come to us, and we'd be very happy to help. And as I say, Marie wants to add something to this, but I think the relationships between the different parts of the sector are particularly strong at the moment. There's always work to do. I think we both acknowledge that, but I think the officer team and the political team regionally now are really focused on where we need to go, and hopefully that will help deal with some of those future challenges that I outlined.
All right, perfect.
I suppose just to build on what Alison has said, you know, there is a very, very close working relationship between the officer level in NILGA and officer level across SOLAS as well. And there's been a lot of work done in the last couple of years as well of building the relationships across the permanent secretaries group in two. So we're trying to get that very, very joined up, consistent approach from central government through to local government. And that's going to be absolutely critical in the weeks and months ahead, particularly as we are seeing changes to central government budgets and the pressures that are faced there, and how we manage that it all doesn't just come flowing downhill to local government, that it's managed in a way that is respectful of what local government can deliver, and then also respectful of our ratepayers and what they can afford to pay as well. But the relationships, I have to say, are very strong, and that can only hopefully be good for the sector.
I would just ask that if you could share the slides with us, certainly to communicate that, and also if there is any point of contact for particular areas within NILGA, that if we could share a list of those, because sometimes it is good to bounce questions off people with good knowledge in particular areas as well. So I don't see any other comments or questions from councillors. So again, thank you very much, Alison and Matt, for your time. And we'll conclude the meeting there. So thank you very much, everyone. See you from
Thanks, everyone.